AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio itself. However, you can listen from anywhere in the world, anywhere in the USA, simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Also, this afternoon we will send out a copy of today's broadcast. And as always, I ask that you go to your email and send it out to family members and friends. It'll be sent out as quickly as possible because this is how we've been growing our family, and I'm very grateful to everybody that is speaking up. Today, joining us, which I just cannot believe, you never know what this person is going to do. First of all, let me say a special thank you to Mark Andel. And boy, this guy is loved. He's enjoyed. People tell me they visit his store. They're very impressed with what he's doing there and how focused and consistent he has been about his message to keep the American-made movement alive. Mark, thank you. Congratulations. He's the founder of the store. Also, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, a man with many opinions. And of course, Curtis Ellis will not be with us today because he is out promoting the America First Project. And then we have our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, always proud to be with you. However, there's another person we hear from each week, and we never know where this man is or where he will show up. Well, today, the studio door opened and he came marching in. And that is none other than the very well-known and very famous Larkin Conley. And you can see his mugshot there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Now, Larkin is another man who's done a lot of work. He came in town for a special meeting. He's done a tremendous amount of work with SCORE. And he's done a lot of business, encouraging businesses, which I'd like to touch on some of that today. I'd like to also say a special thank you to all of the ladies and gentlemen in our audience, people I meet in our travels, because they are really the heart and soul of what we're trying to do. All of you have been a very positive impact on the changes that are taking place in America for many, many years, especially in the last few years. Most people blame the conditions of the United States, especially from 1988 through 2017, equally on Democrats and Republicans. And I agree with that. Why do I agree with that? Because I work with both sides of the aisle, and I see in many cases I can do a lot of good with one side, and the other side just doesn't respond, and that's very unfortunate. And I work with them equally. And I also agree with the people who contact me and the people I meet in my travels that this is not a blame game. It is the problems of actual leadership in Washington and in many of our states. Whether this party controls the state or that party controls, there's no real focus on what are we doing to help American workers. And what are we doing to make sure America's economy was always the best? I also feel, and especially on a national basis, that we lost so many of our jobs and our futures at the hands of people that have simply been in those offices too long. And it's time now to give others an opportunity to step forward. People are saying to me, what do I think about the people running for president? And I say, well, we're going to come down to one candidate when it comes time to the actual election, on each side, maybe even a independent. But I said, many of the people I'm listening to want to give away everything that we earned, build up our $22 trillion deficit, and they have no plan, no message on how to support America and American workers, none at all. On both sides of the aisle, if somebody says this, I would expect the people on the other side to say, well, this is not correct. But give me specifics. I'm a person who's in human services. Life is very important to me. Life is very important. Any mother, any father, any sister and brother understands how important life is. Allowing a person to go to a job, have employment opportunities, be able to support themselves, support their families, go out and enjoy themselves is simply not taking place in the Democrat or Republican parties. And it has to change. They really have to change. So I blame both sides of the aisle equally. Whether they're in power for 20 years or 50 years, the people have not been speaking up at the ballot box, and the people have not been speaking up when they go out to events and physically see some of these elected officials. After years of people saying absolutely nothing about how America has been changed, watching our jobs leave this great country, seeing buildings as I drive along the highway, empty, buildings that were able to be used, still could be used, now coming back to life. I'm pleased to say, because people are spending more of their hard-earned dollars, whether they are working, whether a senior citizen, these are hard-earned dollars. These are benefits for a good job, whether you're retired or you're working now. So spend more of your dollars and make sure that American workers get those jobs back. More and more of those jobs are coming. I also want to say a special shout out to Mike Sessions. He put up an app on the internet. I'm really proud of this guy, and I know he's got a sincere heart. And I urge you to go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, click on that free download, Buy American Made app, by Go America Made in USA. Just click on it. It'll tell you what to do. What he's doing, Mike Session, is trying to tell people where to shop, what's available that's shoppable, that's got an American Made label. Support those dealers, support those industries. Mark Andel is another gentleman. He went through hell by things that he was working on in his company being shipped overseas. And the next thing you know, he, like the Phoenix, rose from the ashes. Mike Sessions is helping. Please do click on that link on the right side of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. It's got that beautiful flag and the microphone. And right above that, you'll see the download. Mark Andel, he never stopped looking forward. He never stopped saying, I'm not going to let this get me down. If Mike Sessions and Mark Andel and Rich Loges and Larkin Connolly and all of us were in public office, I don't think we would have any type of tragedies in America. We would not be watching the level of homelessness on the streets. We would not be watching the levels of poverty that are taking place in some of our major cities. Anyways, at least you know where I stand on some of the issues. And now I'm going to ask the man who is always on the go, a man who drove up from Florida for a meeting. I give you credit, Larkin. You are a wild man. Larkin, tell us a little bit about what's been going on and what do you see and who's really the blame for this in the last 30 years?
Oh, well, that's in and of itself is a book. Good morning, everybody. Mark, And or special good morning to you. You will appreciate the fact that I did not, in fact, drive. I took an airplane. I left Jacksonville at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon to fly up here to get in. I knew a little bit late last night, get some sleep, and surprise everybody here. I put my head down on my pillow this morning at 6 a.m., 10 of 6 in the morning. So I slept hard and fast, got a quick 3 hours of sleep in. And Mark, you'll be very proud to know that as I sit here right now, I'm sober. I didn't think I could do that and not be sober. But at any rate, Michael, the one thing I do want to add to what you said, Mike Sessions and Mark Andel, they should be, and I'm garnering and figuring that they probably will be the backbone of what's going on out in Indianapolis in October, and I wish them both the best of luck out there. They carry a flag and a message that if we could find a handful of other flag bearers, it really would play such a huge part in turning this country around. I really do wish, as a card-carrying, working for the party, elected official of the party, as a Republican, wish I could blame the Democrats, but it's clearly not any one single party's fault where we are today. It's both parties, and it all is, as far as I personally am concerned, it all surrounds term limits. And thank God for Senator Cruz. He's got a bill that'll hit the floor pretty soon, as soon as they come back into session. And it really is calling for term limits. Now, how are you going to get the guys that you want a term limit to vote for it is going to be exceptional. And the other thing I'm trying to figure out is I didn't know that a bill could do that. I thought this was part of the Constitution. This was part of the framework of the country, age and when you could run and how many terms you could run for. And, the president's had term limits since Washington. Or no, he hasn't. He's had, I guess, since Roosevelt. So I thought it was going to take a bigger effort than just passing a bill, but we'll see how that goes. But the last thing I would add when you ask me about what's going on today is the election. It's going to be a real show in 2020. It's going to be unlike any other election I think we've ever seen. You know, Joe Biden in his last appearance in the Democratic debates. Said that undocumented immigrants need to get in line. And his campaign is now in very serious camp, as, you know, jumped in after that unsettling remark and is in serious damage control trying to repair that remark. And for the life of me, I'm trying to figure out what he said that was wrong.
I agree with that.
I thought what he said was pretty spot on, but the Democrats are just absolutely beside themselves.
And Larkin, as I said, that we just can't be in this giveaway mentality. We have to start thinking about where we live, the communities where we live, the people that need jobs. We have to reward the businesses that did not desert America over the years and American workers and get them more profitable so that they can reinvest in America. I love going out and speaking to the people because I learn a lot more, and I want to say thank you to the people that give me their thoughts, because in many of my Saturday radio program commentaries, which are all over the United States, and I thank the radio stations that rebroadcast the audio commentary for doing that, because we're generating more and more people. People simply don't understand that running a business in America takes a lot of time, effort, investment. It's hardship, not knowing if sales are going to be good or bad, yet you have to pay the people. And most people don't understand the commitment it takes to run a business. Leaving America was the easy way to make money with no regard for America, the American people. But they wanted the customers to be the same, took the brand names and all. And now we're seeing people saying, hey, I don't like this. I don't like the way this is going. And this is something we have to address. We have to reward the businesses. People like Mark Andel, who I'm going to call upon next, have to be rewarded for all that they've done. Mark, you fell down, you were kicked down, and you rose on your own. And that's what we want America's businesses, America's investors to do. Mark, how are you?
Good, guys. I'm glad Larkin showed up, Mike. And great to hear you, Larkin, and Rich is waiting on board. But Henry, thank you for making us sound good, as always. But no, this is our big run. We're in the Erie County Fair, Mike, as we speak. We've got a 6,000-square-foot Made in America store set up and a general welding display, and we run everything else. So, again, you know, it was never just me. I got a great, great team. And, yeah, when you get hit, you get back up, and that's the can-do spirit that we're born with. I just came across the street from our store, and we had what's called Squadrons and Shipmates. It's an organization to tie our sailors together. If you served on a carrier, you basically can belong to this group, and there's 1,000 strong. But we had a bus load come in at 9:30, a little unexpectedly, but great people from around the country and great talks. Boy, do they love that store, Mike, and what we stand for, the radio show and our mission. And you don't have to sell it to veterans. They get it, you know, especially when I say half of our flags are made overseas. we all can agree that our flag should be made here. But going real strong, and the fair is great because we're on day number 8, and everybody's trying to stay awake. But the mission to create and save jobs in the United States of America by increasing American manufacturing for our children's future, we say that a lot this year, but the mission is very, very strong. We broke some records at the fair. People love what we're doing. I think it's getting stronger by the hour, by the day. Larkin, you touched on that event coming up in our October. I think it's going to be awesome. It's going to be national. You know, I'm excited about it. We're taking General Welding, a booth, and Made in America. We're going to be side by side. I think it's going to be all of us from the same fabric, and it's going to be neat what comes after this show in October. But, you know, I was talking to one of these gentlemen on from the bus, served the Navy 25-30 years, and we had a good talk. You know, we're always talking about different things and where they come from, but he said, remember, 5%, you know, United States of America is 5% of the world's population, but 50% of the practicing lawyers are here. So 50% of the practicing lawyers are here. He said, my family started in 1846 in Indiana, which was gave more Americans to wars than most states, but very patriotic. He said, we produce things, but now even our family produces lawyers. He said, and what happens with litigation, you produce more work for lawyers. He said, it's a major problem. And I said, I'm going to bring that up on my radio show. So we're 5% of the world's population, and we have 50% of the practicing lawyers in the world. And that's what we're producing.
You're right. And you know what else is very interesting? I had a group of people from Washington, and they told me, Michael, I'm so pleased about this American-made movement. We do follow, even though we are from Washington, D.C. And the lady said to me, I want you to know there's Embassy Row, there's Lobbyist Row. There is no lobbyist building lobbying for jobs in America. They're lobbying for everything else in the world. Larkin, have you heard of a lobbying office like that in,
no.
in what? How is it possible?
You know,
every nation has a lobbyist office, a building, and we have not one place that's lobbying for jobs in America because they expected that the 535 people elected in to go to Washington, D.C. would be those lobbyists. Where are they at?
Well, they're supposed to be representing those citizens anyway, and it really does amaze me. But I will say this. Many of the conversations I've had away from the microphone with people on the street, I think we have to do a better job of emphasizing the fact that we're not asking for it all. We really aren't. If 50-50 would just, I'll tell you what, if we could get 35% next year or 40% next year, that would be an absolutely outstanding year. We're not asking to kill commerce around the world. We're not asking.
Not at all. Not at all. Never did.
That's a great point, Larkin, because that's what we want, 50-50 fair trade. When I went on this bus today and I tell them we have 9,000 products, support 500 privately owned American businesses, but not one publicly traded company makes a product I can sell at our store, their faces drop. Not one. And then I tell them we have not one item that plugs in or takes a battery that I can sell that comes from the United States of America. But I do tell them we've been to the moon, you know, and when I bring up the toaster, you know, we don't make a toaster. I said, I could, but it's too expensive, right? So, you know, we really came to a point, like you said, Larkin, we want 50-50 fair trade. We want to build 50% of our products here. It's not asking much, but I do think it's alive and well. Everybody new that sees or hears our store or story is like wide-eyed, like, wow, where did you come from? So it's new. It's just we've got to expose it, and expose it.
You know, Larkin is sitting next to your toaster that you sent us 2 years ago. I have an American flag through it.
Yeah.
And when I bring people up for the shows or for a meeting or something, they always look and say, what is that? And I said, well, other than large toasters, as Mike Sessions would tell us, that are used mainly in restaurants and all, we don't have a household toaster. We simply don't have a toaster that I can go to some big store and find that with a Made in America label. I was out for Christmas and I wanted to see a toaster made in the USA in a store. Maybe you can get one online, but in a store, they're not there. I looked and I said, my God, everybody is making toasters, but Americans. Yes, Larkin.
And I just wanted to mention this to Mark. In the Baltimore, Washington, D.C., the Thurgood Marshall Airport, BWI is what it's commonly known as. It's a huge airport and pretty efficient airport. Not enough plugs for electronic instruments and batteries. But beyond that, there's a store in the A or B concourse, I can't remember which, called America. And my wife and I were walking there. This was just this past Monday. We were walking down the aisle, and I said to my wife, look at this America. Now, I had realized I had seen this store before, but it was like 4 years ago. I walked into that store, Mark, not one item on the shelf was made in America. Not one. Clearly none of the clothing. Clearly none of the clothing. But the American flag and a snow globe. The bumper stickers, all of that. I mean, everything, it came from some other place. And God bless those people in Vietnam. That country must really be doing well because they had the lion's share of the store.
Yep, I agree. And yep. As I go around, I see it myself. And don't think that I'm not one to speak up and bring the managers over. And I say, in fact, we just had a day at one of the museums here in historic Philadelphia, and a few of us went. And, of course, I know one of the main managers, so, you know, we were welcomed and taken around. And then we went to the gift shop.
Oh, yeah.
And when we went to the gift shop, it was so unbelievable to me because not a book, not a baby's bib, all for tourists, not a cup, nothing made in the USA. Yet, on the outside of the cups and all, proud to be an American, all this rigmarole, flags, you name it, it's all there, but you turn it over, made in another foreign country.
Well, Washington, George Washington, on a beautiful mug, a porcelain mug, a great coffee mug, for me, the great serving size, looked at that and I said, that's just great, and I turned it over and it's made in Taiwan.
That's right. This is where the problem is. So we've gone up the ladder of success, but we still have to reward local businesses in the United States so that they have the money to expand. They can open new product lines. After you've been knocked away from the business aspect on certain products for 15, 20, 30 years, it's hard to bring in a product line knowing that all the competition is already there. So why compete against three and four cups like you just, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson cups? Why do it? My point is, do it because the people like our supporters will look for the American-made label. Rich, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Michael, and everyone. Mark, Larkin, happy to have you back. And good morning to our audio engineer, Henry, who, just as a reminder, is a swing voter.
I was going to say, I was going to call him.
2020, and we need him on board. Got to earn that vote. And speaking of, Larkin,
only my vote swings.
Well, we don't take the swing voters, everyone, for granted. I was at an event last night, Larkin, in Florida. We were talking about state of Florida politics, and Florida is a purple state. For Republicans out there who are listening, Michael, with all respects, we thank you for listening. But anyone who believes that there are any red states in America, they're mistaken. There's no such thing as a red state. There's only blue and purple states. And Larkin mentioned before about Senator Cruz's term limits proposal. It actually is, Larkin, a proposed constitutional amendment. So you were
good.
Correct about that. I expected to go absolutely nowhere, but nonetheless was proposed. And I'm in full favor. I think I speak for our show here. I don't mean to, but I think I speak for everyone that term limits are not only necessary, but very much in line with what the framers intended for public service, elected public service. So you are correct about that. It was a constitutional amendment that's been proposed, and you need 3/4 of the House and the Senate, and you need 2/3 of state legislatures to sign off on it. I'll be very interested to see who actually signs off on it and who doesn't. So that's happening, Michael. I have to make a point, Michael, about the campaign ongoing. I know we have some listeners in Delaware, and we thank them for listening. If former Vice President Biden, Michael, is listening, let me just preface by saying I am not an ageist at all. I don't like that it comes up in the election and in politics in general. And I've got a soft spot in my heart for senior citizens, and that includes the former Vice President. So if the former Vice President or any of his staff are listening, I want to make a sincere plea, and I am imploring the Vice President, not because he doesn't have a right to run, he has a right to run, but I'm imploring him, Larkin, to walk away from this campaign. The Vice President needs to be red flag wad, because one day he's going to forget to turn his oven off. And I mean that. And Larkin, I'm being serious here. If Joe Biden were any of our fathers or grandfathers, I refuse to believe that none of us would say, you know, is dad okay? Is granddad okay? And I'm saying this, Michael, sincerely, out of his own well-being, because I don't wish this upon anybody. I don't wish ill against the Vice President or any of those candidates, for that matter. And I'm publishing an article tomorrow where I argue that Joe Biden should probably be red flag lawed as a candidate, because there's just something about him that isn't right. And he's a dad, and he's a granddad, and he's a husband, and he's endured tragedy. His wife and child were killed in a car crash in 1972. His son Beau died in 2015. And I watch a guy, Michael, who's 76 years old. It's the tragedy of Joe Biden. I watch a guy who's 76 years old, who's running in an election that I think deep down he knows he's going to get landslided on next year. And what he's doing is he's running a campaign where he thinks that Margaret Thatcher is Britain's prime minister and believes there are at least three genders, and then says, get in line, which is what candidate Barack Obama also said. He also said immigrants should learn English, that racist Obama. And Joe Biden is running a campaign as a 76-year-old man who isn't all there, and it's going to end very badly for him politically, Michael. Joe, drop out. Walk away. You're in the twilight of your life. Enjoy your life. You've made enough money for a million lifetimes. Walk away from this. And I mean this, Michael. I am saying this out of sincerity. I'm being serious with you guys here. I don't know Biden personally. I wouldn't share the proverbial beer with him, as is discussed in politics. But I look at Biden, and I have to tell you, I actually feel sorry for him, that he's going to put him – this is a honeymoon phase right now, Larkin. This is the political honeymoon.
Oh,
right,
you're right.
Now.
You're 100%.
You know, like we just tied the knot And I'm genuinely concerned that whatever is going on with Joe Biden is running for president could quite literally kill him. And I am not cheering for that, Michael. Not wishing for that.
Well, Rich, as I said earlier, this is going to be a very interesting campaign. And remember, how many are in the campaign right now will be reduced down to one person. Whoever that person is.
No, but it's going to be Joe Biden. If Biden goes through with this, it's going to be Biden. And we're going to put my theory to the test. And my theory is that while this is somewhat true with the Republican Party's voting base, Democrats would vote for Genghis Khan if he ran as a Democrat. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. And Biden, as soon as you start to hear, Michael, the narrative of 2020 is actually the opposite of 2016. The reason the Republican Party tried to undermine the will of the people during the primaries with Trump is because the Republican establishment, which thinks it's so smart, Larkin, they kept talking about how Trump had no electability. That didn't quite turn out the way they thought. Well, now it's the reverse, Michael. The only narrative for 2020 with the Democrats is electability. That's why if Genghis Khan ran and he was the most electable, CNN and MSNBC and the D-Mike Democrat media industrial complex would do everything in its power to get the guy nominated. And that's why you're going to see that if Biden sticks with this, he's going to be your nominee. I'm on public record having said it. Unless something dramatically changes, in my mind, I'm not saying it's rigged, but in my mind, it's already established. It's Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. That is your ticket. That is going to be your ticket.
Let's mark that on the calendar, August 14th, 2019.
It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what Biden's politics are. It doesn't matter that he said get in line. It doesn't matter that he thinks he was vice president during Parkland. It doesn't matter that he believes that Margaret Thatcher is Britain's prime minister. It doesn't matter that he thinks there are at least three genders. It doesn't matter that he thinks there should be fingerprint entry on a firearm, right? It doesn't matter that he's on public record saying, hey, if you have a home intruder, take your shotgun, Larkin, and shoot it into the backyard. It doesn't matter.
So
as soon as they believe that he's the electable guy, Michael, to oust the current, the incumbent, that's what the narrative becomes.
Okay, I'm gonna try to bring this back a little bit.
Joe, if you're listening, walk away.
So I think Biden's camp. I think their biggest problem is his campaign staff, and all the people that are running the show behind the scenes. I think their problem is finding out what he stands for.
Well, see, Larkin, that's
he doesn't have a
Well, see, that's where I really believe, on both sides of the aisle, I'd like for the American people to see documented what they have planned. When I look at the debates, when I hear people talking, I don't know what they're really, they're bibble-babbling to go at one another. But what is the real bottom line?
But, here's Donald Trump, and I'm a qualified, very qualified supporter of Donald Trump. But here's a guy that said, I'm going to do A, B, and C if I'm elected president. And guess what he's done? To the degree that he has been able to get him through two houses, he's done A, B, and C. He's done exactly what he said. He hasn't varied or worried. That doesn't exist. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. It really doesn't.
And it hasn't, unfortunately, existed like this for probably 30 years. And it's been for a long, long time. And we've been hurt so badly in this country. When I ride down some of the roads and see the debris on the side of the highways, see those empty buildings, I will go through the city streets, see that they're not in good repair. There's so much that needs to be done in this country, and we are just talking nonsense. What are we going to give away? Working in human services, the most important thing that our agency, who, by the way, is celebrating 111 years of service this year, the most important agenda mission they've had is self-sufficiency. When people came here from Europe, their idea was to get them into a housing situation, get their kids into schools, get them jobs, learn the English language. Today, I listened to some of the candidates running. First of all, as I said earlier, many of them are not qualified to be in the elected offices that they are right now, let alone run for the president of the United States. And I'm not saying that against just these candidates. The candidates have been running for the last 25 years on all sides of the aisle, have been very, very talky, but not documenty. They talk deaf, dumb, and blind, but they never showed us in writing what it's all about. Yes.
Regarding with Made in America. And it doesn't mean that it's bantied about as consistently as it should be on the opposite side of the aisle, Larkin. But Made in America was a campaign issue in 2016. It was a campaign issue more directly related to the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And why we made the right decision getting out of that trade agreement. There's nothing, Michael. It's disappointing, but there's nothing that we've heard about Made in America at these. And it's not just the debates. Everyone thinks that, you know, the debates is the only way to get information from what candidates believe. And there's this amazing thing called the internet where you can go to a candidate's website and read about what he or she believes in, supposedly. And just go and look at the sites, Larkin. Just go and look at all the candidate sites. And there's Made America. You're not going to find it, Michael. You're not going to find it. And that's disappointing. It is unfortunate. But
and I blame this thinking on the leaders, not only in Washington, but on the state level. Everybody was trying to get out of their, you know, get out of the next person's way.
It's a voter issue, though. Why did candidate Trump talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership? He talked about it because it's what he believed the people who were likely to vote for him wanted to hear about. They were concerned about. If the Democrat candidates are not talking about it, then they have assessed that their voters don't really care about it, or don't care enough about it for to make it a policy issue.
But I think, Rich, I think he firmly, I think Trump firmly believes that that deal was a bad deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I want to just add something here. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we now have 75 million opportunities to support American made. Mark, I want to join you with this conversation.
Okay.
You know, we're just days away from 75 million boys and girls going back to grade school, high school, and college. And that simply means 75 million opportunities for all of America's families to shop around and look for American-made school supplies, clothing if they're going to college, bedding, and things like that. Look around and see for themselves. Look and see for yourself what's out there and available, and ask yourself what can be done to get more of these products made in America. By the way, looking for school supplies creates 75 million new opportunities for store managers, the people behind the counter, the people ordering the stock, to hear about the customer's concern for more American made. As I said a few times, Mark, you know yourself, there are many companies out there. Maybe they're not giving 100% of the product made in America. Maybe it's assembled in the United States. But people are not able to get the American made supplies. Even if it's 50% made in America, assembled in America, look for that product over a foreign-made product. Additionally, what a lot of the suppliers tell me is that they are not allowed to feature American-made products, even in school supplies. There are a big number of suppliers out there. They're not allowed to do that because their management wants the bottom line to be big profit. And big profit comes from foreign countries, according to them. However, Why is that big profit happening? Because whether you buy the American-made pencil or the foreign-made pencil, guess what? It's the same price. So how is that possible? I thought that things coming from foreign countries had to be at least 40 to 50% less. So where is that 40 to 50% of the money going into? I'll tell you, it's going into the middlemen's pockets. And that's why, Mark, you saw yourself in a year or so ago, one of the copybook companies moved out and went to a foreign country. It wasn't because they wanted to close, because they couldn't find the employees. It was because their investors wanted more profit.
Right.
And that's where they were able to find that profit. My concern is, and my plea today is, if you have to pay a quarter or 50 cents more, please pick up that American-made item, because that's how we're keeping Americans employed and businesses in America encouraged to move forward. If you know, if you're somebody, you're out there on the street selling something and somebody ignores you, well, you don't have the desire to go out and set up shop the second day. However, if people come out and support you, they have a great feeling. Hey, I'm going to do better tomorrow and better the next day. So that's the story. Larkin, you were going to add
something.
Well,
I just was going to say that, you know, every form of government, every form of economic standard has a good side and a bad side. Socialism may be more bad than good. That's arguable. But the word profit is not a bad word.
Not at all.
But it can be. Anytime a corporation, a company, an owner, a manager puts profit before people, puts profit before the future, puts profit before the good of the consumer, him or herself, then profit becomes a pretty bad word. And that can be controlled. And it is in fact the underbelly of capitalism. It's the very best system that's ever been invented, but it has a bottom of a bottom belly, and that is the abuse of profit. And that's a lot of what drove companies offshore, was to widen the margin without concern about people, consumers, the value of the product, and the future of the country.
The future of the country. You're so right, Larkin. You know, there is something else that I want to say, which I find very interesting. People do not, the people who are working in the companies and all, do not often understand that a company must make a profit in order to pay a person and their expenses. The word profit is being made ugly by many political people because they keep saying, oh, they're making a huge profit, they have to pay more taxes and things like that. A company must make profit in order to pay their general operating expenses. In other words, the people listening have to go to a job or receive a check in order to pay their electric, their water bill, their items, their food. Well, the company has the same obligations to do that. If they don't make any profit, they can't keep people employed.
Michael, Larkin is my go-to to talk about free markets. Larkin, you're my go-to on this. And to paraphrase Churchill, capitalism is the worst system of commerce except for all the others. and the problem with the other isms that are now all bantied about in the Democrat media industrial complex as we go into 2020, the problem with the other isms is that the other isms aren't... Socialism works beautifully for the handful of people who own the masses of the country, Michael. But when you listen now, see, when you listen to the candidates now across the aisle, they talk about how there's all this there's this mega concentration of wealth amongst a few people on the top. That is all correct. The reason it's still more capitalism than socialism is because there's no other system of commerce ever devised that's actually provided more opportunity for just the sort of common man and woman as our free market system. And it's not perfect, like Larkin always correctly points out. It isn't a utopian system of commerce. Wherever utopian systems of commerce were always enacted, they were always prefaced by bloody revolution and then bloody application. And, Michael, the people listening to this show who are originally from Poland or have family originally from Poland, sadly and unfortunately, know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. Because that is the system of commerce and government in which they lived. And it's just not relegated to Europe. It's anywhere. So,
but, you know, Richard, good point. And I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, Poland was under the boot of communism for almost 50 years. However, with the help of people like Pope John Paul II, Margaret Thatcher, President Reagan, Lech Wałęsa, and the Solidarity Movement, Poland was able to be freed. And as they became a new country, a free country, they are now one of the greatest democracies in Europe, just 30 years ago. Now look at America. Poland is known for being a great democracy, as many other countries in the union, the European Union. But America, we just let everything move slowly. Oh, well, that's just the way it is, and we can't fight City Hall and all. No! We can fight City Hall. We should fight City Hall. And we will fight City Hall as people go out and speak up to their elected officials. Not put them on a pedestal, unreachable, but speak up and say, hey, what are you there to do for us, the American people, the American taxpayer, the American worker? We have more jobs in this country right now, even with all the growing population, even with all the illegal immigration getting jobs under the table, we have more jobs in this country. It's a historic high. Why is that? Because more businesses are taking the opportunity to say, I want to be in America. I want to move to America. I want to stay in America. I want to grow in America. This is the place where my customers live, and this is the place I want to stay.
Michael, Mark, in the age of President Trump and our win, our most glass ceiling shattering win in American electoral history, which was 2016, not 2008, with all respects to everyone on the winning side in 2008, it was really 16. The United States admits one legal immigrant every 2 seconds, 365 days a year, Larkin. Every 2 seconds, a legal immigrant is admitted into the United States. Would legal immigrants at the rate of one per every 2 seconds be itching, Michael, to get into a racist, xenophobic country run by a white supremacist? If I had a chance to talk with Biden privately, I only have one question for him. Joe, if you're listening, you don't really believe the bull coming out of your mouth, do you? I don't think he does, Larkin.
I think, Rich, in this case, we're going to have to let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, let the will of the people speak. I agree.
Let the will of the people, and the will of the people will speak in this election and in all future elections, because I believe right now America is on the road to recovery. America is on the road to success. Yes, there are issues where the Chinese are, you know, looking to get rid of the tariffs and things like that. This is all game playing. The bottom line is this. It's now being discussed. Before this went on in the last 2 years with President Trump and some of the other people on both sides of the aisle, we never had this much coverage as to what's taking place. We didn't know what was in the trade agreements. We didn't know what the future of America's tax base, America's regulations. We saw those tax bases cut. We saw the regulations cut. We see now what the trade agreements were doing for or against America. We see and hear that the Chinese don't like the idea that they're going to be tariffed. So they're going to do whatever they have to do to make sure that they keep their people employed. How about keeping Americans employed? How about making sure that our infrastructure is improved? How about making sure that our boys and girls get an education that will take them into the future with no problems? You graduate with a certificate and you have at least one reason to go to an employer and ask them for a job or start your own business. That's not the focus in the education system. Do you see it differently, Mark?
No, you know, it's funny. I just came back. Of course, the fair started last week, but I bought snowplow myself. So they had their distributor meeting on the East Coast at Foxwoods Casino. You know, there's 198 distributors. We're top 20. But we met last Thursday, Friday, Saturday, talking to people from all over Alaska, Colorado. All these distributors come in. The skilled trade shortage is everywhere. I think we all know that. I think our listeners know that. You can't find workers, but there's help wanted signs everywhere. I talked to the reps that represent Boss across the country. They cannot find workers, but we all agree the economy is booming. Boss snowplows in the UP, Upper Peninsula, there's 350 employees. They gained 50 employees in 6 months. They're doing their part, but we need more trade schools. We need this more front page. The point here, it's everywhere. A lot of people think it's isolated to different areas. And we had a gentleman named Ronald from Germany, and we had a representative from Japan. But skilled trade shortage is across the world, too. This isn't just ours. So we've made major mistakes, but we've got to all keep talking it and pushing it, Mike, like we do. But it's got to happen today because you cannot grow this economy without workers.
Absolutely. Workers are number one, and it's about time. And I'm hearing it more and more. In fact, I want to compliment the governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, because his administration has promoted more job training programs than I have heard in years and years in Pennsylvania. Schools are now competing to get this program reinstated, that program reinstated. I'm using the word reinstated because they should have never been eliminated in the schools, but now they have to be reinstated.
That's excellent.
Getting teachers, they're having to pull people out of businesses. People who were supervisors are now getting certified to teach in schools. Why didn't that happen 20 and 25 years ago? We'd never be in this kind of situation. And by the way, in some of the foreign countries, the youth are groomed. They are groomed for a job. They just don't graduate from some school over there and just fly out the door to a job. They are groomed for a job. Why haven't we been grooming the American boys and girls for the types of jobs needed for the 21st century right here in this country? I don't understand it.
Well, that's you're 100% right. And I will say that I am very proud to have moved from Pennsylvania. I mean, I hated leaving Philadelphia, obviously, and the state of Pennsylvania, but I am on board and a complete supporter of Ron DeSantis in Florida. I think he's doing a really bang up job. I do some work with children in Florida, and he has given us more money to take away or to give us more money to improve the lives of underprivileged children than any governor in the past. He really has done a bang-up job.
And you see, Larkin, for yourself, that this was not a priority in the past. It wasn't a Democrat or a Republican. It was simply not a priority, and it's got to change. You know, people don't like when I speak up and let them know what's on my mind. But now that people are hearing us talking about these things, now people are saying, well, these guys might be right. They are talking common sense. You know, Mark, Common sense. Buy American.
Yep, it's common sense. I've got my shirt on.
I see the shirt all the time, and I say to myself, isn't this the way we're supposed to be concerned about America? Isn't this why we're electing people to go to Washington to represent our needs, not represent their own little concerns, do whatever they want to do? We have to. That's why the term limits, I agree with Mr. The senator from Texas. However, term limits can be done simply by the voter at the ballot box anytime they choose. If there were people in the communities speaking up against any particular candidate, they could remove that candidate and put one in there that is more into the job situation in America.
But oh, if it were just that simple.
I know. It's tough because nobody wants to be on the grinding wheel. They feel that they're going to be under the grinding wheel. This is a problem. Fear. Total fear is what is killing this country and what killed this country over the years. Final remarks, Larkin. Tell us something good.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, we should all live our lives with the primary goal of taking care of our own first. Period. Amen.
Right.
It's not to say you turn your back on the rest of humanity. You take care of your own first. That's your primary job. I want to say this. Our country deserves to be supported patriotically to the absolute nth degree. You support your country, good or bad, wrong or right, and you make what is wrong right, and vice versa. But we have to be unabidingly, unabashedly patriotic. Our government, on the other hand, they should only get our support when they're doing a good job.
Very good. Well said. Mark, how are you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I want to remind the consumers, the listeners, that they have the power. The power of change is in their hands. By what they purchase, they can make the greatest change in this country. So ask and buy Made in America products.
Well, thank you, Mark. Rich?
Michael, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, this is school time. Thank you, Rich. This is school time. Look at those labels. Support American. First, make sure your children understand the importance of the American flag, the American made, being a good worker. Let them have good example. Let them question their school leaders. Let's get this thing back on track. Until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. If you receive a copy of the broadcast this afternoon, kindly send it out to family members and friends. My very best to you and yours. Have a great one.
Have a great week, guys. Make sure Larkin hydrates a little today.